to talk is Jericho, the pot of thunder and rock and roll. The remedy for boredom has arrived. The People's Podcast is here. Let's go for a ride with my new sponsor, Burger King. That's right. How do you capture the flaky, buttery lightness of your favorite breakfast sandwich? By saying croissant-wich. All right. You get 2 for $4. Only at Burger King. Restrictions apply. Once again, that's 2 croissant, which is for only $4 at Burger King. What else can there be? I'll tell you something else. It's Friday. Black Friday! Today, it's Supernatural Dean Ambrose. He's a believer in all things paranormal, just like me. He's had his own run-ins with ghosts at an old hotel in England. He told us all about that. He also has some theories on Bigfoot sightings, Sasquatch, Yeti. It's a paranormal conversation coming up with one of my favorite guys who's main eventing the next WWE pay-per-view, and he's here, right now, Mr. Ambrose, man. All right, I got a lot of cool things to tell you about. First of all, I watched this show the other day on HBO, a documentary on the life and times of Kurt Cobain. It's called Montage of Heck. Now, my theory on documentaries is it doesn't matter what the subject is. If it's good, you'll enjoy it. And I don't know if you're a Nirvana fan or not. Everyone knows Kurt Cobain, a household name. But it is a riveting portrayal of a very troubled young man who had a lot of issues and a lot of problems throughout his life, and suffered from depression. You know, same thing that Robin Williams suffered and so many other people that have taken their own lives because they're so depressed. You think, what would Cobain have to be depressed about? I mean, huge rock and roll musician, young daughter, you know, all of these things that he had going on for him. But the bottom line was, is he just wasn't happy. He couldn't do it. But it's a really, really well done documentary, like I said. And you know, it's funny because I never really liked Nirvana when they first came out in 1991. As a matter of fact, I hated them because I was a huge metal guy. You know, Mr. Metal, Chris Jericho, Iron Maiden, Metallica. And I was the perfect example of a guy who was just getting so bloated on what heavy metal had become. You know, I had gotten into, you know, Whitesnake and Warrant and Poison and, you know, all of those bands had their moments, but I was buying like Bullet Boy albums in 1991. I was just so holding on to what heavy metal was, even though it just wasn't good anymore. Like, you know, take the Bullet Boys. Their first record was great, and the second one was so-so, and then the third one is bad, and it's like everybody was just getting so overplayed and just becoming a parody of themselves. And like I said, I'm a huge heavy metal fan, but I didn't even see it at the time. The world was looking for something new. I mean, Guns N' Roses had come out and dropped the world on their ass. But even then, Guns N' Roses had become, you know, the biggest bloated rock band, touring stadiums with backup singers and Axl's out of control. And, you know, the guys are leaving the band. And, you know, Metallica had become super huge with the Black Album, to where they weren't even heavy metal anymore. They were just mainstream. But if you're looking at all my other favorite bands, like Helloween at that point in time were having a lot of problems. Kiss at that point in time, even though I loved Revenge, it hadn't quite come out at the time Nirvana did, but they were at the end of their rope. They were getting fairly low on the food chain to where, you know, they were forced to, you know, maybe not forced, but chose to put their makeup back on to kind of regain some of the stature that they had. AC/DC was always hot, but they were kind of bulletproof to anything that was going on. But you know, if you look at a lot of those other bands, like I said, like, you know, Saxon wasn't doing great and Loudness had disappeared, and Ozzy was kind of, I mean, No More Tears came out, that was good. But anyways, what you can see is that there was a real shift in momentum of what was going on in 91. And when Nirvana came out, they basically took over the world, and I was the perfect age to get into them, but I just didn't, because they weren't metal. They didn't have super long hair, you know. I mean, they had different styles of hair, but back then, if you didn't have long hair, you weren't metal. And Cobain was wearing, like, cardigan sweaters, and I just didn't get it. I didn't get the whole, you know, whatever you want to call the grunge scene. I didn't get this new wave of bands that were coming in from, you know, Seattle, and, I mean, you know, Smashing Pumpkins from Chicago, and Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, I just Stone Temple Pilots, I just didn't get it. And of course, Nirvana was the worst of the worst. They were the major culprits because they're the ones who came out basically and just tore up the world with, you know, with Smells Like Teen Spirit, Nevermind. And I wish that I would have given him a shot. I feel the same way about Pearl Jam, but more so about Nirvana. And if you have, I'm from Canada, so I say Nirvana. I know it's Nirvana, drama, pasta, auntie, Nirvana, drama, pasta, auntie, you know, owns. Who owns the Chiefs? Owns, owns. But I just really wish I watched this performance of Nirvana at Reading. I believe it's from 1992, and it's online, it's on demand, it's on YouTube. It is so crazy, you know, just so much energy and so aggressive. And the song was called "Breed," I think. I mean, it's as metal as anything. It's just punk metal, I guess you'd say, like Motorhead. You know, it's as metal as Motorhead is. And some people go, what are you talking about? But you know what I'm saying if you're a music lover. And like I said, I just did not get into what they were doing. And it's one of my musical regrets of my life. You know, it's such a great period, so exciting, so fresh. I should have been at those concerts. I should have been listening to those records. But instead, I went the other way and just stuck with metal. And I guess, you know, like that's something I can always be proud of. I never gave up on metal. But who said that I had to? I still could have listened to both, but it was still weird. I was just a early kid. And back when I was in high school, if it ain't metal, it's crap. You know, I had a shirt that I wrote Death to Duran Duran on the back of it in white paint and used to wear it when I was in junior high school. It's like, no wonder I didn't have a date when I was in junior high school. All the chicks were in love with Duran Duran. And I'm walking around with a Death to Duran Duran shirt. I mean, what the hell? I remember I went to a party once in Winnipeg. It was like February, so super cold, lots of snow. And I was listening to Ride the Lightning on cassette. And I put it in there and pressed play. And then all these Duran Duran chicks, there was this really big girl called Sheila Folletti, and she took out that damn Ride the Lightning cassette, and she opened the front door and threw it out in the snow. And I was like, hey, what are you doing? She grabbed me like by the scruff of my neck and by my jeans and threw me out in the snow as well and slammed the door. And it's like, I'm Metallica for life. Freeze, freeze, freeze. You know, F you, Duran Duran. Chattering lips, chattering lips, chattering lips. But so yeah, a lifelong metal guy. But man, when I watched this montage of Heck, and it was on HBO, it's on demand, you really, really should watch it and just see, you know, just how the world was back in the early 90s. And to see, I mean, you know, you're looking at a guy who's critically acclaimed as being like this rock and roll hero, died at 27 in the 27 Club, which we talked about on a very, very early episode of Talk is Jericho. And just how crazy it was, you know, Jimi Hendrix died at 27, and Janis and Jim Morrison and lots of other people. Of course, Cobain was one of them. But what a visionary and just a total musical genius and a sad story. You know, as big as they were, it just was never enough. And his daughter, Frances, had a lot to do with the documentary. She kind of executive produced it and kind of helped arrange it a little bit. So, and she never knew her dad. And you don't see that on the show or on the movie. But, you know, her dad died when she was 18 months old. So she doesn't know him. And she said it was something interesting that she's the only one that has a personal attachment to the movie, but can also watch it as a complete fan and an observer because she never knew her dad. So it's something much in the fine list of documentaries from King of Kong to American Movie to, you know, Anvil, the true story of Anvil, PJ20. And now Montage of Heck, a definite, very, very cool documentary about the life of Kurt Cobain and what was going on at the time in the 90s. So go check that out and check me out as I return. The big announcement was I return to the WWE for the WWE Y2J Summer Tour. Very excited about that. Once again, I can't win. I go on Twitter and people are like, he's just doing it for the money. He should do it for the fans. And it's like, what do you think I'm doing it for? I'm doing it for the fans. If I wanted to do it for money, I'd go do pay-per-views and WrestleManias. But I like doing the live events. I got 19 shows coming up. I'm just going to read the cities really quickly. You can go on my Instagram, Chris Jericho Fozzy. I'm sure you can go on any website now and Google all the dates that I'm doing. But if you live in one of the following cities, I will be here in June, July, and August. Springfield, Terre Haute, Terre Haute, I think someone told me it's actually pronounced. I apologize if I'm pronouncing it wrong. Las Vegas, I know how to pronounce that. Boston, Reading, Singapore, Tokyo, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, San Diego, Ontario, California, Fresno, Detroit, East Lansing, Bridgeport, White Plains, San Juan, Puerto Rico, Tallahassee. I'm going to be coming to your towns. You'll see all those dates coming up. And it's funny, too. Someone goes, Jericho's an idiot. Why would he book himself in San Diego, California, then fly to Ontario, then fly back to Fresno? Hey, dumbass. There's an Ontario, California with a great arena in it. So there you go. So come check me out there. It's going to be a rock and roll party, man. And speaking of a party, I want you to do me a favor. We spent a couple of days in LA doing all the press for Nothing to Report. It's becoming a big, big success. And that's what we need. The more you watch it, the more views it gets and the more chance that we can do more episodes of Nothing to Report, or maybe an official pilot, or maybe actually take this bad boy to series. It's very, very funny. Two neurotic cops on a stakeout discussing their feelings at length. It's kind of an offshoot of the buddy cop comedies. And what do those buddy cops do when they're not having shootouts in the other 23 hours of just sitting around in a car all day? Comedy Central is behind this. Comedy Central, the biggest funny place in the world, and we're a part of it. Go to YouTube, type Nothing to Report. 6 episodes, 5 minutes each. 5 minutes of comedic genius morsels waiting for you. Go check it out. Do Y2J a solid. Go check out any of the episodes. Captain Ed, Emotional Scars, Partners, Racism. All things funny on this show. Nothing to Report on Comedy Central. I want you to want me and go check out the new show of what we got going on. I also want to give a quick shout out to all of my fans and friends in the UK. Go check out London WrestleCon June 20th and 21st at the Grange Hotel. I won't be there, but my friend is promoting it. PSI Events. It's going to be huge. Joint Q&A with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, plus Trish Stratus, Amy Dumas, Jim Ross. They're all going to be there. Get your tickets at psievents.co.uk. It's a huge, huge, huge festival, London WrestleCon. All right, go check that out and get ready to check out the paranormal discussion with Dean Ambrose. Ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot. In-depth discussions. He loves all that stuff too. He knows what he's talking about. So stick around for that.
Talk is Hawk is Hawk is Jericho.
All right, so back on the show after a humongous over-the-top response to the first couple shows you did. You got Dean Ambrose here. And the one thing that people love when you said that if you put a belt buckle on, it's instant biz cash.
Yeah, man.
They love that.
You got to be efficient, you know, when you're dressing. I realized today that I didn't even bring any shirts with me. I had no shirts but wife beaters.
Oh.
So at some point I got to go buy some shirts. But the less stuff you can bring with you, you know.
The better it is.
You can't be carrying around suits and stuff, you know.
Right.
I mean, you can, but, you know, I don't. I can't keep track of anything. I lose my wallet, my phone, my keys, you know. So as long as I got one good belt buckle, I'm always good.
And people were hashtagging it biz cash. They didn't understand it's for people listening. It's biz cash, which is business casual, is what it's short for. And that's because for a while our dress code in the WWE was business casual.
It's been pretty lax on that actually lately.
They really have. Like even today, one of the divas, I won't give her name, was walking to the airport, like no makeup and, you know, kind of just like wearing like normal clothes. Like that never would have been allowed like 5 years ago. Those poor girls had to get up and put their makeup on if it was 4 a.m.
Yeah, right. I think we should have track suits. That's what I would go with. All the Japanese guys, all they have the matching track suits. They look like a team.
Or a New Day's Dawn.
Yeah, like New Day. Always walking
New
around
Day.
Like that.
Yeah, they got that. They tried that for a while, but I lost mine right off the bat, so I was out. But they did have track suits for a while. But it only looks good if everybody wears them.
Yeah.
If like two guys are wearing it, or one guy's just got the jacket or whatever, it's not the same thing, you know? But so we talked, we did the show. And then I was telling you about how people really loved it. And you're like, hey, man, next time we do the show, we should talk about Sasquatches. And I was like, at first I thought you were kind of ribbing because I have had like a couple Bigfoot hunters on the show and UFO hunters, lake monster hunters. And then I was like, are you serious? And you're like, yeah.
Well, yeah, because you mentioned that before we
right.
did it, but it never got brought up. And I had a ghost story from that same week.
So,
I remember you were talking about ghosts. And
you had a ghost story from what week?
From like a couple days before...
that's right.
Yeah.
The first day I got there, we were talking about it, and you stayed at some old English hotel, and it was Bournemouth or something like that.
Yeah, I don't remember what town it was. I could remember the hotel and what the town looks like, but I don't remember the town. But this is essentially my only ghost story I've ever had in my life, because I don't necessarily not believe in ghosts. I like anything. I'm open to it, but I've never seen one. I don't want to see a ghost, man.
I don't want, yeah.
Holy crap.
Like, I'll believe in it, and I don't need proof. Because if I get proof, that means there's something scaring me in the middle of the night.
Yeah, you're screaming, freaked out.
Yeah.
So, in the afternoon, I go down to the hotel gym and work out. And it's like, you know, it's a hotel gym. And it's a really old hotel. Old.
Yeah. 16th century.
England, you know, we're right in the middle of castles kind of town. One of those. I can't remember the name of the town for life.
Man. I think it was Bournemouth. Or Bournemouth, however you pronounce that.
One of those.
Because I landed and Minehead drove.
Minehead or Bournemouth.
Bournemouth, yeah. Because I drove to that hotel after landing. It was Bournemouth.
Anyway, so I get done working out and I like got a little extra time. So I hop on the little the Stairmaster gimmick, right? And get a little extra sweat on or whatever, you know.
Get
so
your cardio on.
Hopping on that thing for a minute, you know, listen to music. Da, 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 walking on the treadmill. And there's like a clock in front of me on the wall. That it just looks like a clock that would be in a hotel gym. I don't know if it's connected to wires, or I assume it would just be a standalone with a battery.
Standalone
it
clock
just looks
battery
like a cheap
back.
Little clock.
Right.
I'm looking at it occasionally because I, you know, I got like 20 minutes. I'll head down to the bus here in a minute. I'm looking. I look over, and it's whatever it is, 3:30 or something. And right when my eyes glance to it, because I'm kind of in the corner of my eye, I can see it. It's 3:30, 3:15, something. Right when my eye glances over, it just starts.
It just, the hands just start going around.
The hands start going in a circle, just like at a real steady, fast pace, like spinning, like one of those, like
wow,
like a scene where you're sitting there in a movie where you're sitting there and it fast forwards in time.
Yeah,
and
it's showing like you how the time is advancing.
Yeah, it just the clock. Both hands just start spinning.
So it's 1
really
o'clock,
fast.
2 o'clock, 3 o'clock.
Yeah, just going around and around and around. I'm like, that's weird. And I don't think of ghosts or anything. I'm just like, that's weird. What the hell's the clock doing that for? That's really weird. And then it starts freaking me out. But I'm like, I'm trying to kind of no-sell it to myself. Like, that's weird. But I mean, I'm alone in this gym too. So I'm like, starting to get a little more freaked out. And then my mind's playing tricks on me. But then I don't want to let it. Like freak me out, and I don't want to like get up and run out of there, because I'm like, there's got to be an explanation to this. The battery must be shorting out or something. Or maybe it's connected to other wires in the hotel. Or maybe they're changing the clocks. But I'm looking at it, and I'm like, that just looks like.
How long is it doing this for?
It does it about 15 minutes. It just keeps going and going. And right when I'm about done, I got like a minute or so, I'm going to get off. I'm like, oh, I'm going to finish this whole thing now, this whole 20 minutes or whatever, because I'm going to no-sell this clock spinning. And it's like 3 feet in front of my face, like right on the wall.
Right,
I'm like,
this
is, it's weird. The last time I glance over at it, I got about a minute left. Right when my eyes hit it, it just stops right on both hands on 12 and doesn't move again. And like I get off, and I was just creeped out. Like that was, it was creepy. And then a couple other guys had said, because it was like an old, creepy hotel, you know, that you would think was... I think all of England is haunted.
Yeah.
You know, like
walking down the street, it looks like it's haunted.
Yeah. And a couple other guys, I think, said that it was weird and they were hearing weird noises and stuff. But I didn't say anything. I'm like, I will not admit that I just saw it. But the more I thought about it all day, I just kept going, like, I feel like that was weird. Like, that was like a.
Now, that
was trippy.
Did this hotel have. Was it haunted? Or did you ask around if it had any haunted.
No, I didn't ask. I didn't want to know. The next night, though, the hotel we were at, it was probably the first night you got there.
Mm-hmm.
That one that was kind of like a resort-looking thing.
Yeah.
I was down with the Usos, and they were saying it was haunted. And I was like, we got another haunted hotel, G? And then I told them the story, and then they were like, and I was telling them, they're like, oh, man, that was a ghost, man. Oh, there's
yeah,
no way.
J.
Oh, no, man, your ass is haunted, man. No, that, oh, God, that would freak me out. And I don't want to believe that was a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hoping that there would be somebody on the stool next to me that was like a clockmaker expert and was like, oh, yeah, clocks do that all the time. It's a big, big misconception. A lot of people, yeah, that's a very common occurrence.
Yeah, like you said, like if they're changing all the clocks in the hotel, like back an hour or something, can you even do that with a normal clock, like you said, that you're basically putting batteries in the back of it, putting it up on the wall?
Yeah, well, the weird thing was it moved and stopped moving. Right as my eyes
looked
shifted
it.
To it,
yeah,
like it knew, yeah, it was creepy. That's
some kind of presence, right? You know, there's a club in Milwaukee. It's called the Eagles Ballroom. And it's a famous club that's haunted. The rumor is that it's haunted. So we played there a couple years ago. And afterwards, the guy's like, hey, you want to go take a tour of the haunted area? I really don't. But the other guy in the other band was like, we played this band called Saxon, and the singer was Biff. He's like, come on down. Come on, man. Are you scared? Come on. I was like, all right, I'll go. So you go down to like this basement, and it's a really small set of stairs. So it almost looks like the Blair Witch when they walk downstairs at the very end. And there is then another set of stairs that goes down. There's a boiler room, and there's a swimming pool. And the swimming pool has been drained. And for some reason, there was this underground swimming pool. Apparently, a child drowned in it, and that's why the Eagles Ballroom is haunted. And and being down there, it's like, okay, we're laughing and stuff. We had a couple GGs or whatever. But it's not... something is weird. You can feel it. As soon as you walk down there, there's like some kind of a presence or an electricity in the air, a heaviness in the air where you know that there's something is not cool here. And I just kept envisioning like there'd be a little like avalanche or something. It would just get us stuck down in this little boiler room area in the haunted area. So I didn't stay down there long. I didn't think it was cool. And I asked the bouncer, I'm like, how long have you worked here for? Because I've been about eight years. Have you ever seen anything? He said, yeah, a bunch of times. He said, there's a downstairs club and there's an upstairs club, which is a big ballroom. And he said, there's always somebody walking around in the upper deck of the ballroom, even when there's like, hey, what are you doing? And the thing looks and then just kind of disappears. And this is a guy, like, he's not taking the piss. I can tell. He's like, yeah, there's a ghost in here. So, I mean, you see that when you go to different places. So you said you don't know if you believe in ghosts, but you don't not believe in them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to it. You know, the U.S. Bank Arena in Cincinnati's haunted?
No.
You know that story? By the ghosts of, supposedly, but the ghosts of the people who got trampled.
At the Who concert.
At the Who concert, yeah.
You're kidding me.
And like when it was Riverfront Coliseum in the 70s or something, I guess.
Yeah, like in mid-70s, there was a big stampede and a couple fans got trampled.
Yeah, because it was festival seating, so as soon as the doors opened, Everybody rushed to the front of the stage and people got trampled. So I used to work there when I was like a teenager, like doing like usher security type, that kind of gig, where you get to stand there and watch the hockey games and stuff.
Right.
So, and a bunch of people who had worked there for a long time, it's all just a known thing. They're like, oh yeah, the ghost, don't go on the fifth floor. So like after doors are closed and stuff, some of the dudes would go up and like walk around, you know,
the fifth
when
floor.
It's dark. But, and you know, I never saw anything or heard anything, but you know, just the thought of it, you know, to freak you out. But people say they have recordings and pictures, and like it's just an accepted thing. Like, oh yeah, there's ghosts all up in this thing.
Just accepted, right?
Yeah. And we were there for like a TV, like a couple years ago. It was when the set caught on fire.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, that was at that building. And I've been telling people, earlier, you know, this building's haunted, huh? Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, I swear. And I was telling people the story. And then a couple hours later, whoosh, the set goes up on fire. About the same level as the fifth floor would be. So, you know, maybe there was a ghost just standing on in one of the press boxes just setting stuff on fire. You know
that's when we remember they had us do the tout. You remember touting? It was like that little video thing that they had bought.
So they're like, what happened to that?
I know, right? Well, the thing is, I was like, whatever. So I touted, I took a picture, or I filmed that on fire in the Cincinnati Coliseum and touted it, and then... About 10 minutes later, someone's running by and said, Triple H says, nobody tout that. Nobody tout that. So now I got this stupid tout that I put up like one. And now I'm desperately trying to figure out, like, how do I edit this out? Like, how do you make it disappear and delete it? Like, it's the last thing I need is to get heat for touting the flare-up of the ghost fire. But yeah, I guess the ghost disappeared and so did tout. We're not sure exactly what happened to tout.
The ghost burnt down tout. He took it with him.
So, but the original reason why we decided to do this kind of a conversation about supernatural is, you mentioned, you know, if it's going to be about Sasquatches. So what is your interest in Bigfoot and Yeti and Sasquatches?
I find it pretty interesting. I know more about it than I probably should for some reason. Probably the same as you do or anybody else, but not that I'm like, you know, super obsessed with it or, you know, but when I was in like fifth or sixth grade, you know, you do like a book report.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, everybody go to the library and pick out a book and do a report on it. And I'm like, you know, I obviously was not a great student at any point. So I'm going through the books and I find this like really generic Bigfoot book. And I'm like, what the hell is this? And it's got, you know, the classic picture of Bigfoot on the cover.
The Roger Patterson
and
picture.
And I'm like, whoa, I thought that was, I didn't know that was a real thing. So I like started looking at it and it became pretty interesting. And mm-hmm. then, you know, I got like another book on it, another book on it. I ended up, that was probably the only thing I ever put any real effort to in school, you know, because I kind of got really into it. I'm like, oh man, this is kind of interesting. Bigfoot, there's a thing called the Bigfoot and there's like fossils and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, and then that spurs you off into other things, you know, like other monsters or whatever, you know, so that's all.
Other cryptozoology.
Yeah. So that's when I first kind of, it became a, you know, a casual interest, you know, so occasionally, like, if there's a show on, I'll always watch the show, or I'll occasionally, you know, read a thing, or if there's a new video or whatever, you know, I'll kind of keep up on it a little bit, you know, but I probably know more about it than I should.
Well, I showed you that video the other day from Russia, where the Bigfoot, like, actually, there was two that just came out. There's one that I sent you that was from, like, Florida or something. You could just tell it's, like, a photoshopped, like, ape in the water.
Yeah, it didn't even look like a Photoshop. He showed it to me. It was like a, it looked like a plastic Walmart fake gorilla head and just sitting in the water.
Sitting in the swamp.
The dude took a picture of it, like perfectly in the swamp.
Yeah, and like no ripples or anything. Like it's just like water ends and guy begins.
Yeah.
But the other one was the Russian one that we were looking, where you actually see the Yeti walking through the forest. And that one was a little bit more, a little creepier.
Yeah, that could have been real. I mean, you always have to assume that in. You always assume it's a guy in a suit when you see somebody walking on two legs.
Yeah.
But that one was pretty, you know, he was walking pretty weird and was out in the snow. And you can never tell. Like, they're all like that. They always start right when it comes into frame.
Yeah.
And then they never follow it. I'm like, would you follow that thing? Like, you just saw a Yeti.
What if it's like, real? Do you want to follow it? What if it turns around and tears your head off?
Maybe. I mean.
It'd be the first documented kill from a Yeti.
Yeah, I mean, how committed are you to it? You know what I mean?
Do you believe in this or not? From the books that you've read and the shows you've watched, I mean, do you think there's enough evidence to support that there's something above or unordinary that's out there?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say because you can't count it out, obviously. And there's definitely, like, enough. Like, I was watching. I was, like, kind of brushing up on some stuff, like, getting ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
I was, like, one of them, what's his name? I think his, like, name's Jeff Meldrum or something. I just watched this show, and he was saying, like, you know, he's a big scientist who has this big, he's, like, a zoologist or a primatologist or something. He's got a big lab with millions of samples of footprints and hair and stuff. And, you know, even he says, he's like, well, you know, I can't say one way or the other. But there's definitely enough evidence that it suggests that it warrants, like, a bigger investigation, you know, by science or whoever. So, you know, it's hard to say because there's so many things that, like, on the one hand, there's so many hoaxes that are so obviously hoaxes, like the dude from Florida, who just make everybody look bad.
Because
then you sound like an idiot if you're like, oh, you know, I kind of think. Well, then a lot of it's wishful thinking, is because it's fun to think of a Sasquatch or a Loch Ness Monster or whatever. You know, it's fun to think that somebody might hit one with a semi one day and, like, Harry and the Hendersons, and it'd be like cool, you know? And then there's, you know, the people, if you want to see something and you're looking for it, your eyes and mind will play tricks on you and you'll see it, you know? Mm-hmm. So there's like, complete hoaxes, there's, like, false sightings, and then there's people that say, like, there was no false sighting about it. He was 2 feet from me, and I
saw it.
Yeah, like, there's no, it wasn't like it might have been a deer, like, it was a giant thing, you know?
Right.
So there's so much crap to sift through that it's hard to, like, people are in Kentucky and they say, like, oh yeah, I saw a Bigfoot in Kentucky or whatever. I have my own feelings on it. Like, I don't think that, like, there'd be a Bigfoot in Kentucky, for instance. Or
just the terrain is not conducive for that.
But, like, the Pacific Northwest, when you drive, like, I mean, driving in the daytime, like, a few months ago from, like, Seattle to Yakima.
It's crazy, yeah.
There's so much space and terrain and so much mountain and, like, that you can't access. Or, like, from British Columbia all the way to, like, Oregon, there's just so much stuff that humans just don't go into, you know? And if an animal is nocturnal and it's way up in the mountains. And, you know, the one guy I was listening to, that same scientist guy, was saying, like, primates, like, big primates are actually more elusive than you would think. You think like, oh, it's a big dumb animal. We're going to walk into it all the time.
Like a gorilla or something.
Yeah, like they didn't document the silverback gorilla until like 1912 or something like that. Wow. Because nobody actually found them and studied them because they're just so high up in the mountains and they're hard to find. And if, you know, there's not that many of them and they're nocturnal and they're way up in the mountains, like 100 miles deep in that terrain, you know, who's going to go out there at night and find them, you know?
That's an interesting point, you know, and I think, too, I touch upon this whenever I have guys like ourselves on where it's, you have to be real arrogant to believe that we live on this planet and all that there is what we know. Like you said, there's millions of acres of forestry in the Pacific Northwest, in, you know, the main area up around there, all across Canada. It's ridiculous up there. You know, you go to other countries even. Russia's got a lot. So whatever it may be. Then you're talking about water. You're talking about like sea monsters. What is a sea monster? Well, some kind of a creature that's never been discovered. Like, was it 90% of the Earth is water?
Yeah.
And we know, like, everything in it? You know, or
there's definitely, like, some fish and some eels at the bottom of the ocean that there
well, sure,
be, that
of course.
Nobody will ever see.
Of course.
You know?
You know, and they've just discovered species. They discovered a coelacanth, which we've talked about on this show, which was a primitive, basically dinosaur fish that it was believed to have been extinct for like 2 million years or 60 million years or whatever it is. And they caught one like 50 years ago. And then they caught another one. And then they caught like 7 or 8 of them. So there was this colony of coelacanths that lived in the ocean that were supposed to have been gone for 60 million years. So who's to say what else is in there that we don't know?
I saw a fossil of one of those things in the museum once.
Yeah, ugly,
that's
right?
That's huge.
Yeah, huge.
Giant fish. Yeah, giant dinosaur fish just swimming around.
They just caught.
Yeah.
And there's another one, too. Like, there's a species of rhinoceros called a tapir, T-A-P-I-R, that they just got, like, I don't know, probably 20 years ago, 30 years ago, that never even knew existed. They just got it, like, recently in modern times since we've been alive. So what else is out there that we don't know about, like you said?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing about another thing is, like, we were talking about, like the other day, and you said something about lake monsters, and I was like, I had kind of been turned off by a lot of the lake monster stuff, you know, from different shows and stuff where they recreate the pictures, and you know, that thing of like when you're looking for something, your brain, you know, if you're looking for a sea monster and you're looking at, you see a branch, your brain will tell you it was a sea monster or whatever, you know, so you're like, your mind will tell you you're seeing what you're looking for, right? But then I had like a bit of an epiphany about all that. So because I was kind of like, you know, I think most people just see branches and stuff and they think it's a monster, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But and the same thing with, you know, a Bigfoot or a ghost or anything. You know, if you think there's a ghost, you're going to hear the air conditioner and swear you heard a ghost.
Right. Yeah.
So I was driving that night, like after we'd talked about that. Driving through Alabama, and there's tons of trees and stuff, and it's like one of them drives where deer are just popping out, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't seen a deer yet. So I'm driving, and then it occurs to me that, like, you know, it's a dark highway. I'm going pretty fast. It's like a two-lane highway. And I'm just, like, start scanning for deer. So it comes into my brain that, like, okay, there's probably a bunch of deer. I'm going to watch out, make sure I don't hit a freaking deer.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I see a branch or a bush or a cone or something, and I go, okay, not a deer. And then every 2 seconds, I'm starting to think I'm seeing a deer because now I'm like mentally looking for a deer, right? So every little movement I see, I'm like, never mind. I'm all up on the steering wheel. I'm all in like hunter mode. I'm looking for a deer. Every like a dozen times, I think I see a deer. I'm like, that's it. Okay, no, just a branch.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a deer. Oh, no, it stops on. Okay, and then I remembered what we were talking about earlier. I'm like, yo, you know what? My mind is looking for a deer. That's why I keep seeing these deer
because
I'm paranoid. So my mind is telling me things are deers, but there's no deer. I haven't seen a deer yet. And then a little later on, big ass deer by the side of the road. Like no question, not like just a big ass deer sitting there. And I went, oh, there's a deer. Whoa! And then I was like, you know,
there really was.
Even though there is a lot of that stuff. Even though there are a lot of, like, false sightings and stuff because you are looking for a ghost or you're looking for a sea monster or Bigfoot or whatever it is, that doesn't discount them from existing. Because I thought I saw a deer 36 times that night until I actually did see a deer. And then I saw, like, 5 more. So there was definitely deer out there, even though I had a lot of false deer sightings earlier.
Right.
That didn't mean the deer aren't actually there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So then, you know what? You really can't say, even though there is a lot of false, you know, sightings, people's minds playing tricks on them, that doesn't mean they're not there, because the deer were sure as hell there, you know?
And you thought you saw a deer 10 times before you actually saw one.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, so the both things can exist.
Well, and I think, too, when you see a lot of, and there's been quite a few over the last year where there's been Sasquatch sightings, there's been a lot of UFO stuff, and even a lot of lake monster stuff. I don't think, I mean, I'm sure there's a portion of society that's going out there, okay, I'm gonna put on a shark fin, and I'm going to swim around in the water, and you're going to yell, shark, I'm going to fool everybody. But I bet you there's a lot of people that aren't trying to pull a hoax. Like, they are seeing something that they think is there. And we owe it to those type of people to say, like, what did you see? You know what I mean? Because just I showed you that ice monster in Iceland, that lake monster in Iceland. And we're watching it go down the lake. And there's something there. Like, what is it? I don't know. Was it, you know, a fishing line that was frozen, a net, or was it a big branch that, or was it some kind of a weird giant worm? You know, what was that?
Right.
What was that thing? You know, you can't really put a button on it. Like, and yet, well, show me a picture. It's there. Oh, that's just this or that. Are you sure? You know, if I'm saying it's a sea monster and you're telling me it's a frozen net, we're both looking at the same thing. We both have the same amount of proof. So who's right and who's wrong? Maybe you're trying to pull a hoax that it's a fishing net. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Like the UFOs and stuff, you know, there's always like an explanation for that by like the, you know, government or whoever. And that's why a lot of people always they have conspiracy theories and stuff, because they give them like specific things that it was. Like, they go like, oh, that was a weather balloon. And the people are like, why would there be a weather balloon? That wasn't a weather balloon. Instead of just saying, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, because they give them specific and a specific explanation, like, oh, the Air Force said it was a whatever it was.
A weather balloon.
Yeah, you know?
When do you ever see a weather balloon, like, for real?
I don't even know what those are.
That's what I mean. It seems a little bit too convenient. Oh, it's a weather balloon. Just move on.
Yeah, maybe those are just made-up things.
That's what I mean. Like, maybe it actually was. It, you know, that's the type of stuff. Like, I would run for to be the president just so I could learn that sort of shit. I wonder if the president would know. Like, if you become president, do you get a book that has all, like, this is the real story? I wonder if he even knows.
You'd think they would have to, right? But maybe they don't.
Maybe just, like, the higher
They got so much other stuff to worry about. Yeah, like, in Vegas, there's whatever the Air Force base is. It's pretty close. So there's all kinds of, like, crazy jets flying by and stuff all the time. And, like, it's close to Area 51 and all that. And so a lot of people are, like, always camped outside Area 51. I've never gone up there, but, you know, camped outside Area 51 and stuff. And taking pictures of all these crazy experimental jets and stuff. But, you know, if they got all that, if they got, like, a UFO or whatever there, I don't think the president necessarily has to go there, though, unless he really wanted to.
But he would know about it, though, right?
I don't know.
Like, they're not going to tell guys. Like, well, maybe it's a military thing. Maybe you have to be a general.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's you know? Part of it. I don't know. You should get Bill Clinton on the podcast and ask him.
And ask him if he inhaled.
Dude, Billy.
Hey, Bill, come here, man. I got Dean Ambrose here. You mentioned that you had a ghost story. I didn't ever really I had that one ghost story at the Eagles Ballroom that wasn't really a ghost story, but they always talk about, do you not study, but are you familiar with like the UFO lore? What happens with UFOs? Like, a lot of times people will just disappear for hours in their own, like, chunks of time just disappear.
Yeah.
You've heard that?
Yeah, which is weird. Which is, sometimes, like, I'll watch some of those, and it's some dude with an outrageous story. It's like some kind of crazy hallucination, and he starts crying and stuff. But I mean, I don't know if there's some kind of condition where you can have like a seizure or a mental lapse or something, or if like, and there are other people that are more convincing and don't sound like people trying to fool you. So I don't know. I don't know about it.
I had one of those.
I don't want to get abducted.
Get probed, alienly probed. So I'm at my friend's house. This is when I lived outside of Calgary in this place called Okotoks. It's like a farm area. So Okotoks is here and Natton is here. And it's just a big kind of a farm road to get home. It takes about 45 minutes. So I was at his place. He used to hang out there all the time back in about 91 or 92. And I'm driving home and it's the middle of the night. And I saw like some lights in the sky. Okay. Well, maybe they were weather balloons, I don't know, or jets or whatever. And I left his house at like 4 a.m. and I got home at 6:30 a.m. And it's a 45-minute drive, and I didn't stop and I didn't pull over. And I don't know what happened. To this day, I still don't know what happened to that extra hour and 45 minutes. Because I remember driving, I remember seeing some lights, and then I kind of got home. And it was 6:30. I'm like, what happened to that 2 hours?
That's so trippy.
Isn't it weird?
Yeah, that's really
and
trippy.
And I wasn't high, and we might have been had a couple drinks, but I wasn't drunk because I obviously was driving. So I still wonder to this day what happened. You know, am I saying I got abducted by an alien? No. But what happened? You know, it's 2 hours. It just disappeared.
That's true. Maybe you, like, drove through one of those Men in Black memory beams or something.
That's right, huh?
Yeah, that stuff is really weird. I was watching something, like, the other night, and then I kind of read up on it a little bit, which I didn't know anything about. Like, there's all these theories that they're getting pictures from the moon that they supposedly took, like, in the first trips to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
There are like these photos that show like what look like satellites on the moon,
mm-hmm.
and what look like industrial buildings and like something that looks like a nuclear reactor, like mm-hmm. all these
from like 1969 or whatever.
Yeah, like
really,
which I never heard about and read up on a little bit. But there's in these pictures some from like the original photos those guys took. There are these things that look like structures from this. Supposedly the first time we went to the moon. So now people are saying, like, theories or whatever, that there's, like, aliens that have, like, a base on the moon. Or there are aliens that, like, come in and out of the moon or whatever. And they've been here for, like, 100 years or whatever. And they come in and visit and they study and whatever, you know. But, like, they're just camped out on the moon. And they got, like, a power source up there and a satellite, you know. Because the picture looks like a satellite. You know, I don't know. It could have just been a television show. I don't know.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But it had like some of the astronauts and they were saying like, you know, one of them switched over the radio and I don't remember the astronauts were because he didn't want to call Houston. So he switched over to like the medical frequency or something mm-hmm. and said like, hey, like, and pretty much told him like there was a spaceship like orbiting the moon or something or whatever it was. And they had the one astronaut on there. And he's like, yeah, this thing's like flying around. He's like, I don't know what it was, but it was obvious. I can only classify it as an unidentified flying object because there was something.
While he was on the moon, yeah. There was something flying over his head?
Yeah, one of the astronauts said that they saw, and he was on the show. He said that they saw like something flying in the sky that appeared to be like some kind of ship or plane or something. Like
wow.
while they're like landing on the moon, you know, but like he didn't make a big deal out of it, you know.
I have an issue with the moon landing. I'll tell you why. I'm not going to say the moon landing never happened, but this is I get in arguments with Frank, our drummer, all the time about this. Not going to say the moon landing never happened, but my question is this: okay, you look at your cell phone, okay, man. So this cell phone that you have on the desk here, it's pretty high tech. 5 years ago, what was a cell phone? It was a little flip thing, right? You couldn't even take a picture on it. You have to text by going ABC, DEF, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So technology has advanced so much in 5 years on phones, in cars, recording music, whatever. The last 5 years has gone insane. So we went to the moon in 1969 and built a rocket ship to take us there. So now here we are 45 years later. 45, yeah, about 45, 46 years later. Why is there not like super fast like Concorde rocket ships going to the moon? Why isn't there like a Starbucks on the moon or a McDonald's on the moon?
Yeah, you would think, right?
You'd think that, so, right?
That Virgin Atlantic guy tried to make his own spaceship.
That's what I mean.
Blew up.
Yeah, blew up, right?
Didn't go well.
So you know, why have we not advanced towards that?
That's part of what that show was saying. They said they were saying that's part of the reason we stopped going was because they got up there and they
got told
found alien crafts
out.
And stuff, and they were like, let's not go back anymore.
But that's what I mean, because it's like you would think that if we went up there, because like three or four times, that and you know how human beings are, you know how Americans are, and you know how big business is. I'm running Starbucks. I want to put a Starbucks flag on the moon. Why? Because it's the ultimate advertisement. And Frank, our drummer, is always like, it's not worth the money. You're not selling. I say, you are selling. We're the first coffee shop on the moon, the first company on the moon. This is how big we are.
Oh, yeah.
That seems like a no-brainer that some McDonald's, Walmart, you know, somebody with the big cash would want to do that.
They would just want to put a flag up there.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Just to say, you know, we flew up there, we claim the moon as a McDonald's territory or whatever it may be. You know, or guys like Virgin Atlantic guy Richard Branson or whoever, guys with a lot of cash, would want to go up there just because they can. I'm going to take a trip to the moon. You know?
There's people trying to go to Mars and like some kind of two-year...
Ten-year
journey that like they're not going to come back from.
Did you hear that's a one-way trip?
Yeah, like you got to be nuts. Like,
yeah,
I'm not going to make it to Mars. I will never go to space for no reason.
Why is that?
We're not supposed to be up there.
Yeah,
I don't think we're not. We don't. You know, we don't have gills because we're not supposed to swim underwater.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have the tools to make a boat. So you know, but that's different. You know, we can't fly. That's why, you know, we don't jump off buildings, mm-hmm. you know, without parachutes or whatever. I mean, we can invent stuff that can help us do these things, and we can invent spaceships to go to space. But it's so unforgiving. You can't, and there's so much that can go wrong. And, like, you're just, why? Why go up there? I like the Earth, you know? If all the movies about, like, the Earth, you know, we're killing the Earth and global warming, and when we run out of resources, we're going to have to populate another planet. I'm going down with Earth.
You're staying with Mother Earth?
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care what's happening. I'm staying here. If people are getting on a little ship and going to Mars with space food and like dehydrated berries and stuff. I'm like, you know, I'm just gonna chill here. I'm going down with the ship on Earth. Like, I ain't trying to go into space ever.
Well, and that's another thing too. Okay, let's talk. We're talking about the expansiveness of the ocean or the expansiveness of the forests. But you're looking at space. I mean. This is one that I got to draw the line on. You tell me that we're one planet out of nine in one galaxy where there's like, I don't know, 100 million galaxies. And they've said like there's some ridiculous amount or like a billion galaxies. So we're the only planet in the 100 million galaxies that has life on it. That thinking, moving, breathing, whatever breathing is to other, like, you know what I mean? Like we're the only species in the entire universe is this planet.
Oh, no way.
No way.
No.
There is no way.
Yeah, I wonder if we're like one of the more advanced ones or if we're like one of the least advanced ones. The rest of the planets could all just be, you know, dinosaurs and animals and just bugs and stuff.
Or we could be the dumb bug idiots to like the super geniuses of every other galaxy, you know?
Yeah.
Like when
you
look at like pyramids, for example. Like how the hell did they make a pyramid? 10,000 years ago, whatever. What's how they do that?
I haven't read that much about that. My initial theory on the pyramids is that you just had so many people
like slaves.
With nothing to do except because, you know, they're poor and they live in Egypt.
Yeah.
Back then, it was a simpler time. You woke up in the morning, you pushed your block, you kept pushing, you kept lifting and pushing, and then you went home and you went to bed and you got up in the morning and started pushing your block again. I kind of figure that it just was, they had so many people and so much time. That's just what you did. You just got up and you made your, you worked on the pyramid. Or it could have been aliens. I don't know.
Yeah, one or the other. Because it seems like just the architecture of it too. Have you ever heard of Easter Island?
No.
Easter Island.
I've heard that, but I don't know what that is.
The Easter Island one is there's like 45 monoliths, statues. Of like these weird kind of long face, kind of like the cover of the Division Bell, Pink Floyd, like long weird faces. And they're all exactly the same. And they were built, you know, 10, 20,000 years ago. Hmm. So the thing was, is like, how could they have built all of these sculptures to be exactly the same? Each one is exactly the same. So that was always another kind of like a, was there some kind of otherworldly intervention going on with that sort of thing? There's a show called Ancient Aliens.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen a bit of it. There's some dudes who love Ancient Aliens.
Yeah?
Yeah, get Bo Dallas on Ancient Aliens.
Oh, yeah?
Jesus Christ. Him and his brother. Put a pot of coffee on.
Really?
They start talking about
it. So what do they talk? What do you mean? They're super into
Oh, yeah, they buy into everything they see on TV the second it comes up. You know what I mean? Like any show that could come on. The president is alien. Dude, I'm telling you, the president is an alien. I saw this show. Whoa, freak me out. They buy into everything hook, line, and sinker.
Well, they're from the right area of the country, too. From like Brooksdale, Florida, I think. You know, it's kind of the area.
Yeah.
And we love the fine people of Brooksdale. Trust me. I don't want all the people in Brookstone twittering us now and saying it.
Dem Rotunda boys.
Yeah. Have you ever talked about this stuff with anybody else?
Yeah, occasionally. Here and there, you know, not like, not super in depth, I guess.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they, you know, little guys like that start talking, you know. See, because I don't buy into everything on every show or whatever. Mm-hmm. I like to, you know. I'll read a lot and make my own decisions.
You have an open mind.
Yeah, but, you know, I think anything could be possible. But I don't necessarily, until I see a Bigfoot, I'm not like a Bigfoot believer. I'm very, very hopeful of the Bigfoot. But maybe just because it's fun. Maybe just because I hope one day that I'm going to turn on the news and they'll be Harry and the Hendersons in a cage.
They'll have one hooked up.
Playing basketball or something, you know.
So, but you said you've read up on the Bigfoot. You've read books on it over the years.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are some of the things that you've read about that kind of, like, you went, like, whoa? Is there some stories that you read about?
Okay, for instance, because there's, you know, a lot of stuff. But for instance, like, the real famous footage. The
Patterson Roger footage, Patterson, right,
footage, right? Like, I mean, you instantly see it and you go, oh, there's a dude in a suit. Mm-hmm. And now there's a dude who claims he's an old guy. I don't know if he's even alive anymore, but he claims he was the guy in the suit. Mm-hmm. And he had a whole story and he was the guy in the suit. But then there are, like, scientists who analyze the footage or whatever, and they say, like, this thing was... There's like, boobs on it. Mm. It's, like, a female. And it's got breasts, you know? So, like, maybe they were smart enough to put breasts on it to make it a little less obvious,
guys,
you know?
Guys wouldn't do that, though.
Yeah.
Idiots sitting around.
The two dudes were, like... Well, the one guy was pretty shiesty. Mm-hmm. Like, he was kind of a con artist type of guy, you know, mm-hmm. but also the kind of guy that would go out looking for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But also maybe the kind of guy who would fake something like that. But, apparently it was if it was a suit, it was like done by somebody like a special effects guy and somebody with knowledge of like how an ape walks and stuff. And this is the 70s and these are like buffoons. They're just like these trail riding, you know, kind of like fly by night type guys. And this is before the internet and stuff where they can just look stuff up, you know?
Yeah.
And there's no, this is on like a reel-to-reel or whatever you call those old cameras. Yeah, it's not like they can Photoshop anything.
Super 8, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's why it's kind of poor quality as opposed to today where it'd be all digital. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, it'd be a lot harder to fake all that special effects stuff, you know? I mean, it's the typical... They come up just as it's coming into frame. They actually try to chase it for a little bit, and it kind of outruns them. So, but there, you know, all the different scientists say it was too tall. Scientists say that its gait or its arm swinging, where like a human couldn't pull that off. And then some people are just like, it's obviously doing a suit. But then a lot of people say like, if you super super close up on it, you can see like muscles moving underneath it and stuff, and you can kind of see its face when you get really up close. But you just can't make a decision one way or the other, you know?
Mm. I noticed that in that Rush one that we watched just the other day. And it's online right now. You can Google this for yourself. Check out Roger Patterson, Bigfoot film, or the Russian Yeti film. And that one was weird because, like you said, I was watching it. And I watched it with a bunch of people. Oh, come on. That's a guy in a suit. But when I watched it a few times, there's something weird about the walk of it. It's not walking like an ape would walk, but it's not walking like a guy. There's just kind of a weird kind of a overstep. I don't know. It was something different about it where you're like, that guy's either trying really hard, but he's doing a great job of not walking like an ape or like a human. He's walking something in between. I noticed that right off the bat.
Yeah, he's very gangly.
Yeah.
And a Yeti would be different because it's smaller, has like kind of a...
Is that what the difference is?
Yeah, like a Yeti is supposedly like 6 foot or something.
Mm-hmm.
It got like a pointy head and like red fur.
Really?
Yeah, and then a Bigfoot, in the traditional sense of a Bigfoot, is like, you know, taller and like brown and the smell and all that is in the description. But a Yeti is like smaller. And supposedly, I was watching the one thing the other day, and it was like Hunt for the Abominable Snowman or something. But there's like a monastery in Tibet or wherever in the Himalayas that has a scalp that they claim is a Yeti scalp.
Wow.
Because it's just like a sacred animal. Like a lot of them, whatever, I don't know what their religion is, but they think it's like a god.
Mm-hmm.
And when it screams and stuff, they, you know, they got all these stories about it. You know, so they'll like pray to the Yeti. And they all, like there's a village up there and they all, because you, like the Himalayas where the Yeti is much like the remote parts of the Pacific Northeast would be. or northwest.
Yeah.
But like colder and like harsher. But there's these villages up there and like they herd yak and stuff. And you're talking like 10,000 feet up in the air. They live in this like the remotest area ever. So, I mean, to go up there and to look around and stuff, it'd be insane. So they live like so far away from society. And they just all just assume the Yetis. It's just the Yeti. They've all seen one. They've all like heard one, you know, like it's just a part of the deal. And they have a Yeti scalp that is in the monastery. And like in the 70s, they took it on tour. They showed it to like JFK and whoever else. And they supposedly took a, they let the scientists or whatever at the time, or maybe this is the 50s or 60s. They took a hair sample of it and they did like tests on it and stuff. And it came back. Like, it didn't come back like a gorilla or anything. It went to, they said the hair was close to what, like, goat hair would be. So they all went, ah, it's fake. But goat hair would be real similar to human or ape hair. So, I mean, it's hard. And if it was an unknown animal, you wouldn't be able to tell what it is anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just kind of, eh, we don't really know what this is. But the technology wasn't as good back then. You know, if they were saying, like, if you took a DNA sample of it now, they have, like, DNA and better technology and hair stuff. I don't know what the word is, but to, you know, to study the hair follicles, yeah, whatever, or whatever, you know,
CSI stuff.
Yeah, now they might be able to get a better idea of it. But the thing's just locked up tight, like in the monastery. And on the one show, the guy had a, he's like a British guy, and he had an in with a guy who was in with the village, and he let him go in, and they went into the monastery, and like they looked at it, like they looked at the Yeti scalp, and it's like this coney head with red fur all over it.
Wow.
But they wouldn't let him take it out and like, or
yeah,
take any hairs from it or anything, because they would have nothing to gain from it, because they're either going to tell him it's a fake, or they already know it's a fake, or right, they're like, no, you can't have it because it's sacred and we know the Yeti exists. So, you know, there's nothing for them. They don't care about what society thinks. But whether it's real or not, they're worshiping this scalp for like the last 100 years, you know, whether it's fake or not.
So, you know what's interesting is that I had Robert Trujillo from Metallica on the show, and he was talking about when they played in Antarctica. They did a show in Antarctica so they could be the only band that played on 7 continents. And they had to play under like a biodome, and they had to play with inner ears so not to disturb the animals. But he said that the animals were so tame there because they haven't been taught to fear man, because they never see man. He said penguins were just coming up to him like, what's up? Like little penguins walking around, like not running away because they're not scared, because they have no reason to be. What you just said about the Yeti kind of in the northern nether regions of Nepal, where there's nobody up there, and maybe if they respect the Yeti, maybe that's why they see the Yeti more, because the Yeti's not scared of a human because it's not going to, you know, try and hunt them down and kill them or something.
Yeah, I mean, and to go up there, to there, I mean, you can go like hunt for a Bigfoot. You can go out in the woods in California and say you're going Bigfoot hunting. To go like Yeti hunting, you got to get to Tibet or Nepal or whatever. You got to get to 10,000 feet, find a guide. Essentially, you have to climb Mount Everest to even go up there and look. Right. And how many people have even done that?
See, there you go. That's another perfect example.
Yeah, and so these Yetis could be like in the farthest point, you know, just climbing up and down mountains, you know, because that's just where they live.
Yeah.
You know, and like, you know, I mean, like snow leopards live up there.
Right. And once again, you don't see a snow leopard too often.
Yeah, they're like one of the most
rarest
things you'll ever see. Like there's so little footage and photos of them because they live up in that area, you know. So,
and that's another thing too, we're talking about that Yeti footage from Russia. They were making those footprint casts, and it said the it was all in Russian, but I read the article along with it. It said that the impressions were done by something that weighed 2,000 pounds or more. That's how far deep it was in the snow. That's how thick the footprint was that they were able to put the plaster cast into. So once again, this is a guy in a suit, but he weighs over 2,000 pounds.
Yeah. Like, another thing about footprints that I always found really interesting is whoever figured this out when they started doing this kind of test on it, a lot of footprints were like, okay, that's obviously fake. But these are different because they have like fingerprints on them, or what they call dermal ridges, which is your fingerprints. Like if I put my hand on the desk like that, it leaves like fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
So once that technology in like the 90s or whatever became like more of a thing, they had this one, like this FBI guy got real into it, who had all this technology, and he hooked up with some Bigfooty type people who had all these old casts from like the 50s and 60s, and they got fingerprints on them. Like back before the
So from the snow, like from they put their hand in the snow, they would find these little divots and take a fingerprint of it?
No, or but on their feet.
Oh, okay. So like footprints.
Yeah,
right. Footprints.
But
yeah.
Like called dermal ridges.
I gotcha. Yeah, like the bottom of your toe has like a fingerprint, but it's on your toe.
Yeah. So a lot of them, 40, 50 years old or whatever, but they have these that don't look like human, that are like very small and detailed, and like you have to be really smart about this stuff to fake this. And this is, they're coming in from all different parts of the country or the world, from different decades, and they all have these dermal ridges on them that all kind of have the same consistency or kind of the same animal.
Oh, gotcha.
But
so if it was just a guy in a suit with a padded foot, it would not have these dermal ridges on it.
Yeah, and you know they don't look like human fingerprints or toe prints.
Wow.
They kind of got their own, like they, I think they swirl in the opposite direction, but like they're very like minute detailed details on the detailed details, something like that.
That's
like
pretty, see, I'd never heard that one before. So there's a lot of that sort of stuff, like you said, between the hair and the dermal ridges and like the weight that's putting on these. Yeah. If you want to believe.
I'm going to look up a picture of it while we're sitting here.
All right, yeah. If you want to believe in this, there's definitely enough evidence that can point you in the right direction for sure. And it's like that with the UFOs. It's like that with the lake monsters and lake creatures. I showed you that picture the other day from the Hook Island monster with a giant tadpole underneath the waves.
Oh, yeah. Did you see a lake monster at any point?
No. I actually went.
Are you saying that? I don't know.
I went to Loch Ness a couple of years ago. We had a show in Edinburgh. And a couple of the crew, like it was a WWE show, I rented a shuttle. And we drove the 3 hours to get to Loch Ness. And we went on a ride to you know, go out in the middle of the lake, and it's super choppy. Like it's hard to ride on it. Mm. And you could see, like, if you're looking for something, you could see something. But it's creepy. Once again, don't throw me in this water. I'll freak out and have a heart attack and die just from my imagination. But the dumbest thing of all was on the banks of the lake. There's a museum. Go in there and they tell you about the Loch Ness monster. But instead of telling you why it could exist. It's done by like the Natural Historic Society for the Loch Ness. It's telling you why it doesn't exist and why you should just appreciate the lake for its lake. Listen, man, if I want to go see a lake, I'll go to my house or go to Florida or go to Lake Michigan. I go to Loch Ness. I want reasons why it could exist. Don't debunk it on the lakes, on the shore.
Yeah,
tell us what's up.
For tourism, that's a bad move.
I remember Snitsky was with me. Me and Snitsky were there and we were just like, this sucks. Like, don't tell us why it doesn't exist. Tell us why it could be real. So, so you've pulled up the
here we go.
Dermal.
That's like the drawing of it from the.
So you Googled this. What did you Google?
Just Sasquatch dermal ridges. Like they'll come
and
up.
This is from SasquatchInvestigations.org.
Like, yeah, see how it's like fingerprints?
Wow. Yeah, the bottom of the foot has all the swirls and loops that a fingerprint would have, but it's at the bottom of these feet. And these feet are very primitive, prehistoric. It's like, wow, look at the toe is on the side of the foot coming out. So that footprint, it's like if you hold your hand out with your thumb down making an L, that's what those guys' feet look like with dermal ridges. So that's not a boot or a foot from a costume.
No. Well, I mean, it could be, but you know, that's just another thing that makes it like, whoa, that's pretty.
Yeah.
It's another thing. Another thing is like like the Yeti is in, you know, Russia or that in the eastern part of the world or whatever. And the Pacific Northwest is obviously in the American West or whatever. But like prehistoric times or whatever, there was like a land bridge that went across. And in that part of the world, in Russia, like where the Yeti is, or in Asia, there's like all kinds of fossils for this thing called the Gigantopithecus, which was it was a real, like, prehistoric ape, just like a dinosaur. Like, it's documented that it existed.
What's the name again?
Gigantopithecus.
Okay.
Big giant head, big giant ape. It's, like, 10 feet tall. Like, I mean, there's tons of fossil records of it and skeletons. It was, like, a giant prehistoric ape that pretty much looks like a Bigfoot, right? So that was in, like, Asia in prehistoric times, pretty close to where you would find a Yeti. Or even pretty close to where you'd find, like, silverback gorillas. So it's not, you'd think that there are animals like that in that part of the world. But there was a land bridge, you know, in the prehistoric times that went over to, like, Alaska and I think in, like, what would now be, like, British Columbia and Washington, like, the Northwest. So theoretically, there could have been animals that traveled in the Ice Age or whatever, or like, I don't know if you walk that far, but you know, they could have made their way over hundreds of millions of years or whatever to what is now the Pacific Northwest, you know, so they could all be like related to that same. It could be a different animal, or it could be of the same family tree or whatever. Or it could be like, it could be a bunch of those animals just living to, you know, who knows.
That when the bridge went down, they all just went to different parts of the world.
Yeah.
And see, that's why I was surprised when you told me about the Yeti. I always thought it was just the same animal, just in different terrain and different climate. But that Yeti actually is different from a Bigfoot. Sasquatch and Bigfoot are the same. I think it's just names. One's an Indian name and one's just a slang name.
Yeah, like the one of them is I just watched the show. That's why it's all so fresh in my head. But it's like the Shoshone Indians or something. They called it. I guess they came up with the name Sasquatch, yeah. And then that translates to Bigfoot. So
there you go.
And they think it's like a spirit.
Yeah,
like was an interview with them, like with some old Indian woman, and she's like, "It's a spirit, and he knows the mountains well, and you know, if you see him, it's a good sign." And they think he's like a spirit who disappears and appears and all that. So, but you know, they have him because it was an animal back when they were around. Mm-hmm. You know, they were just living up there. It's like a documented animal to them.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't have any science or anything. They just had like whatever drawings they had or whatever. But, you know, very well documented, you know, from those people because they used to see it all the time because they lived up there in the day. But that's another interesting thing is this is kind of an argument why it's in people's minds too, is that it takes on, you know, different physical characteristics and different personality characteristics depending on the, like the part of the world or the region, and like every part of the world in the region has like something relatable to a Bigfoot. You know, there's Bigfoot in America,
right?
Different parts of the country have kind of different versions of Bigfoot. Like when people in, I think it was like in Tennessee or in the Smoky Mountains around that region, like when they see Bigfoot, he's like, the stories typically are like he's very friendly.
Yeah,
he's not as, you know, big and scary as he is in the big scary Northwest. It's like a more of a friendly Bigfoot. And like in Florida, there's like the skunk ape. It was like this swampy type of Bigfoot because that's the kind of terrain it is. And, you know, China has one, and the Yeti. There's so many different ones that all take on different characteristics, you know, depending on.
It's like the lake monsters. Like I was looking up lake monsters the other day, and it's not just Loch Ness or Ogopogo. I mean, there's literally hundreds from every country, every state, every province has one. And it's like, why does every single lake have a lake monster? Or why does every part of the country have some sort of a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot or whatever? And the point is because, like you said, I think people want to believe it because it's fun to want to believe it. And who knows what's out there? You know, we don't know for sure. So why not have an open mind and believe that something weird could be out there, you know?
Yeah, it's way more fun like that.
Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly. Yeah. So just to wrap this up, so Bigfoot, yes or no?
I'll say yes, because I can never be proven wrong.
Okay, so
I can only be proven right.
I could do that with everything. So
you chop down every tree on planet Earth. Like,
okay, then same with the lake creatures. Not lake monsters, strange lake creatures that we've never seen before. You think that's far-fetched, or you think there could be something there?
Definitely could be something there. Like, it's hard. I don't want to say yes to anything.
Yeah,
it's
sure, like, sure, sure.
But
See, I don't think there's like plesiosaurs, like dinosaurs in there from ancient times, but I think there's.
Yeah, when people think of Loch Ness Monster, they think of
a plesiosaur.
The brontosaurus with the flippers, because that's like the sexiest version of Loch Ness Monster.
It could be a giant
eel. But it'd be like a slug or something.
Slug, right. Yeah. Some kind of a weird giant tadpole or whatever.
Yeah. But of all the lakes in the world and all the weird stuff, there's definitely weird lake stuff, creatures we haven't seen.
Something there.
You know, whether they're monsters, I don't know. But so I'll say yes.
And what about ghosts?
I'll say no because I don't want them to be real. Because I might have to go back to that hotel.
And last one, not just UFOs, but life on other planets.
Oh, for sure.
Like intelligent, moving life, like us. Like maybe not green, but some kind of other species.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, have we seen them? I don't know, but they're. Gotta be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, come
too
on.
Big. Okay. Yeah. So we've discovered today that we both have an open mind and believe in all of these things. And thankfully, there's somebody else in the company that feels the same way that I do. And then we got to talk to Wyatt in Dallas about it next to Alien and Duck. You got to see this, man. Last question.
Four-parter.
Just so we can say that we we talked about wrestling. Who's your favorite wrestler of all time?
That's so hard. And if you ask me that on Monday, you'll get a different answer than
what about
on
today?
Wednesday. Today, I'll say Sandman.
There you go. And do you remember when Andre the Giant, you probably don't remember this, there was a show called The $6 Million Man, Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah.
And Steve Austin fought Bigfoot one time and played by Andre the Giant.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there you go. So we talked about wrestling today, too.
Wonder if Andre ever took an extra booking as a fake Sasquatch.
And walked through the forest.
Andre was the... There it is. Andre was the Patterson.
Was the Roger Patterson Bigfoot.
All right, thanks to Dean Ambrose talking about all things paranormal. A lot of interesting stuff that Dean brought up, and he definitely knows what he's talking about. And I thank you for joining me, and I want you to come join Fozzy as we go out on the road with Slash starting May 18th in Chicago. Then we go the 21st, Austin, Texas, 22nd at the Jefferson Theater in Beaumont, Texas. That's a Fozzy-only headlining show. Then we go to the Houston, Texas on May 23rd. May 24th, the Southside Ballroom in Dallas. Those are all with Slash. Then don't forget June 25th, the Val Air Ballroom in Des Moines at the Hard Rock Hotel in Sioux City, Iowa. So many big gigs coming up. We want to rock with you. Go to FozzyRock.com for all VIP and ticket information. And I want to thank you for rocking with me today. Thanks to Dean Ambrose. Thanks to all the ghosts and goblins out there who gave us a subject to talk to. And I thank Burger King, Nature Box, DDP Yoga, True Car, Amazon, all of my sponsors. And thanks to you guys for shopping through my Amazon links. Easiest way to support the show so we can keep doing this for you for free twice a week. Go to the Amazon links at podcastone.com. You click on the support our shows banner at the top of the page, you wagey. Click on Talk is Jericho. All three of my Amazon links will be there. UK, USA, Canada, A. Every time we do that, Amazon kicks back a little cash to the show, so we keep doing this for you for free. No extra fees or hidden challenges. You're just getting your shopping done, helping me out in the process. All right, thanks for being here. You know I love you. I love to love you, baby. I want you to stay hard, stay hungry. Peace, love, and hugs. We'll see you next Wednesday, yeah, boy, with one of my favorite people on the planet. He just released a new book called How to Be a Man. He's the ex-bass player from Guns N' Roses. He's the ex-bass player from Velvet Revolver. He's now in Loaded, Walking Papers. He does so much great stuff. Duff McKagan will be here, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, next week, and what a conversation it is. We'll see you then, and a big yeah, boy!
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.